Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Robert August. Thank you, Michael Sullivan, for getting us on the air. Thank you, Vivian, for being up in the broadcast booth. It's a small little team doing this, and it feels weird, but it feels essential. And actually, it feels pretty good. I'm glad you're with us. We're glad that you're listening. And greetings to all of you on this, as you said quite properly, Daniel, foggy little morning. I just wanted to say that it's strange to be in a virtually empty room and be talking to you. This means that basically it's just the four of us singing. And I remember very early in my career, they did an evaluation. They sent it out to all the members of the congregation. And it, you know, it came back pretty well. They liked me, and it was all good. And I was reading them, and I got to the very last evaluation and the very last comment of the last evaluation. And it said, "Please do not let Stephen sing near the mic." And so, unfortunately, that's where we are now. And so, anyway, I want to talk a little bit about what art spirit means to the life of this congregation, and I believe, and to the life of spirituality itself. I have always found that artists are the channels of God's truth into this world. Yes, there are the mystics and the sages and the saints and the saviors, and yeah, I'll even throw in some preachers. But to be truthful, it is the artist who goes deep enough to capture the tears and the fears and the hopes and the longings and the almost uncontrolled ecstasy of being alive. And for me, that's a lot more important in my religious life than the things that we often think about as religious. And I think, to be truthful, that we are being our most religious when we are finding some way to tap into our creativity. That's where we share in creation's work and joy. And churches and synagogues and places all over the world where people gather, far too often they can be places of dust and shadows and dry talk. And if we really believe in that invigorating, energetic divinity, I think that they should be places of life and activity, color and music. I am pretty certain that a pottery class can be a more religious undertaking than a committee meeting, although, frankly, I like committee meetings. I've devoted 40 years of my life to committee meetings, and then I bet. But a true church needs to contain both of these activities fully and happily. And we should be about the irrepressible message that there's something divine living in us, sparking us, animating us, and that we are part always of that greater life. And when we can be joyful, and Lord knows it has not been easy lately to tap into that, but when we can, it's a deep grace that reveals something that is a power within us. So, art and spirit. I think it's been a great idea building on something that's really been a part of the life of the church for a long, long time, long before I ever arrived. But when Margaret and Tim and other local artists began deep conversations about what could it mean to really work with the congregation, to really bring in not just paintings on the wall, but dancers and musicians doing special things and artists working with children, what would that mean? What would it look like? I felt it would make us an invigorated church and a different kind of church. And I don't think I was wrong on that. Now, are we all great artists? Well, I think that's the wrong question. I think that Richard Baden's meditations today show us a different and a better way to look at that question. In these tough days, my wife Liz has very lovingly been saying, "Stephen, why don't you do a painting or get back to that book proposal?" And frankly, I too have been surrounded by a sort of fog of anxiety about people I love and this church I love and serve. And it's been hard. But I have to say to you that I feel like I'm maybe starting to get my sense of balance. And this thing's going to go on for a while. So maybe this sermon comes at a very good time. That even in our isolation, maybe we can go deep. And maybe we should go deep. And maybe that's what our faith is asking us to do. And I wondered if, in highlighting just the Meditations of One members, if some people might think, oh, you know, Stephen and Daniel are just putting together a service to sort of salute one person. But no, I don't think that's the truth at all. I'll be really frank about it. I think that Rich's autobiography, the things that he has endured, and mental illness, and a stroke, and chemo, and everything he has walked through and survived, makes his meditations feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've got like William Blake in my congregation. There's just something that is so deep and innocent about what Rich writes about. Because it's hard-earned and hard-won. So I think actually this is a great way to highlight what Tim and Rich have put together. And I wish from the bottom of my heart that you could just come in and just see the exhibit. But we can't do that. So many things have been wiped out. I feel like there's an alternative universe out there of things that we would like to do, plan to do, and have been put on hold. But life itself cannot be put on hold. And you and I know that. And so I want to talk about how we participate in the creation in which we find ourselves. I think, to be truthful, that when we find some means to be creative, and we can be creative not just in art or writing or sculpture, we can be creative in our moral imagination. We can be creative in our ability to bring people together. We can be creative in thousands of ways. And when we do that, we kind of sort of live the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is not just a document that was written 4,000 years ago. Genesis is something that's going on around us, flowing through us, and it is who we are. It goes on as something living, and where we can share in the responsibilities and the joy of creation itself. And I believe that it is a creative force and a mysterious power that moves through us. Yes, with our hands, we can create with pen and paint and stone. But we do more than that. We construct societies and families and governments. We create religious systems that contain both the best and the worst in human behavior. And scientists all over the world are working 18 hours a day in amazingly creative efforts to heal. And that's where we are. So, I'll be frank about it. I have always found the deepest kind of access to divinity not through theologians or philosophers, but from artists who know creativity firsthand. They give you that joy found in creating something new that lifts up out of the chaos of daily experience. Robert Browning, the poet, wrote works that even he could not explain. When his wife asked him what he meant by a passage, he replied, "When I wrote that, perhaps only God and I understood it, and now only God knows what it means." Churches are pretty rare beasts if you stop and think about it. They're a place where art and music and silence and friendship and faith and food and liturgy, and dance, and mercy, and social justice. They all come together, and they mingle. They create one atmosphere, one place where people can come and bring whoever they are into the mix. It's a place where friendships between generations can happen. And whether you're 80 years old or 8, friendships do happen. Friendships that cut across social lines. That happens almost nowhere in our modern society. And it happens in that we are each invited to uncover and discover something in ourselves that we didn't know before. And I believe that these are seedbeds of what I call moral imagination, of creativity in acts of mercy, justice, and love. And if we keep our hearts in the right place. So there you go. Now, I am a erstwhile and infrequent painter. And I have to tell you that I love a canvas when it's raw and open and fresh and clean, expansive to my dream and to the touch of a brush. And all through the years I've experienced, each day I wake up and each Sunday when we come together, I experience, yes, each Sunday is that kind of blank canvas, waiting for the spark, waiting for the moment. I believe in that. And I remembered a poem that I read many years ago here. I have since discovered that it seems to be a variation on a poem by Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And it is wonderfully expressive. It's called Instruction to Painters and Poets. And the first thing you have to do is paint out postmodern painting, and the next thing is to paint yourself in your true colors, in primary colors as you've seen them, without whitewash. Paint yourself as you see yourself, without makeup, without masks. Then paint your favorite people and animals with your brush, loaded with light. And be sure you get the perspective right, and don't fake it, because one false line leads to another. And so, paint all the dark corners too, everywhere in the world, all the hidden places, minds and hearts, where light never reaches. And don't forget to paint all those who live their lives as bearers of light. And you can say, Stephen, that's lovely and poetic. But maybe it's a little untrue to the realities of daily life. You might say to me, life is not a blank canvas. It's filled with the past. It's filled with our character. It's filled with our DNA and our history. It's filled with history and circumstance. And that's true. You're absolutely right. Who we are is who we are. But who we are right now is not necessarily who we will become. And it's a product of a very long journey. Past this day, past this time, past this crisis, scrawled and smudged and irreducibly real, and dust. I would never deny that truth and your truth. But I believe that there's something fresh in you. Please don't think we've gone off track this morning, because we've shared spiritual meditations of great beauty. Rich's whole life has been one long rolling crisis, and he found the way to write something affirming and something beautiful. It was in a time of plague that Shakespeare left London and wrote King Lear, and it was in a time of plague where Newton left Cambridge and saw an apple fall on his head and discovered the law of gravity. In the midst of pain, human beings dream, and we grow. And that's the way it is. There's an old story about a minister who hires a team of painters to paint the parsonage. And he doesn't pay close attention. And one day, he walks in and he realizes that the entire building looks threadbare and shoddy, that the old paint is just showing right through, and he sees them pouring water into the paint. And the minister strides up and says, "Repaint, repaint, go and thin no more." Now, because this sanctuary is not full of people laughing uproariously, I have to tell you that that's a joke. But I have to also say that repaint, repaint is a better message than the old repent and repent. There is something so beautiful about the invitation to stride into that new world. Yeah. To try to repress our anxiety so we can focus a bit. And think about one act, one outreach, one moment. Maybe it'll end up being a song. Maybe it'll end up being a poem. Maybe it'll be a letter to your long-lost college roommate you haven't talked to in 30 years. But it'll be something. And it could be something really powerful. And if a life, even one life, can be expressed through the blink of an eye and one small act, how can you tell me that your canvas is done? You have only just begun your life. This is what I believe. This is what I sense. This is the way I would like to live my days. And the poem that meant so much to me, as a variation on Ferlinghetti, it concludes this way. And remember that the light is within, if it is anywhere. And you must paint from the inside. Start with pure white, the pure white of gesso and Kahneman white and flake white. But before you strike the first glow on that virgin canvas, remember its fragility, life's extreme fragility, and remember its innocence and the inner light of everyone. Let it all come through. And when you finish your painting, stand back astonished. Stand back and observe the life on earth you've created, the lighted life on earth that you've created. In this tough time, God bless you all, but let it also be a time of gratitude. Let it also be a time where that one small act can make all the difference. Amen. Repaint, repaint, go, and thin no more. And now this morning's music of offering.